The days of strategic patience are over. Yes, folks, they are, and they've been replaced by strategic tolerance. That's what's coming up on the Rusted Culture Show. Yes, the days of strategic patience have been replaced by the days of strategic tolerance. I'm going to tell you about why the Trump approach, the current approach, with all the hard talk, it just isn't going to work. Nobody has said what I'm going to tell you. I've not heard it. It's a novel approach. And just listen for a little bit here. And I'm going to tell you why Trump's approach really is no better than Obama's approach of strategic patience. But before I get into all of that, let's take a brief look at North Korea. And this is the problem that Trump, I don't think, will solve. Firstly, North Korea has a geography benefit that's going for them. They really only have to worry about a narrow front that's towards South Korea, and they can forget about reinforcing the side that borders with China and Russia. If those countries want in, folks, let's just face it, there's not much they can do. But this is more than unlikely. You know, this is not a problem that they're going to likely Kim Jong-un is going to have to face any sort of challenge by Russia into their country or China. If Russia wanted to pull a Crimea, I don't think there's much he could do about it. I think they'd probably end up with about 30% of the deal, but it's unlikely. So Kim Jong really only has to focus on his border with South Korea, which, by the way, is super rich with targets, namely Seoul, South Korea, which is only 35 miles away from that border. And you know stuff like this if you listen to as much TV as I do, TV news, if you're reading the wires, if you're looking at all of this stuff and absorbed as much as I am with it. It's a target-rich environment, 35 miles away. Second point I'd like to make is that North Korea has great determination despite all of the sanctions and actions by the world to hurt them economically. It's this determination and demonstrated sustainability that implies North Korea can continue the current status quo for an indefinite time frame, folks. They can keep on going with it. Sanctions simply are not having the desired effect, and if sanctions are working, the pain of those sanctions is being felt by the North Korean population. It's always the people that suffer, isn't it? They're the ones who seem to be the ones that get all the short end of the stick. If it's a call between spending money developing nuclear weapons or feeding the population, advancing the nuclear program seems to always win every time. And that's because Kim Jong-un has got that tight grip on his people that seems to help his sustainability of the status quo, no matter what sanction or crisis is thrown their way. Also helping with the North Korea situation economically, if we look at that, you have China and Russia sitting there who seem... In the past, I don't know about the past few months, it seems like China's pulled back somewhat in their trade. But nonetheless, I think they seem to be eager to continue their support no matter how loud Trump screams about it. In fact, China, folks, China accounts for 89% of external trade with North Korea. And Russia economically is their second largest trading partner, accounting for about $100 million in trade in 2013. So they're getting significant support from these countries. And quite frankly, we don't seem to get much help with the sanctions from those two countries. We do get a little bit from China. But in fact, if you look at what Russia's doing, they seem to be going out of their way. They've forgiven debt here in the past few years of North Korea. And they seem to be pretty sly at continuing economic support for North Korea. And you can expect that to continue. Of course, why do, you know, this whole thing about Russia being our friend, it's a bit of a joke, really. And no, I never planned to go to Russia. And why would you with, you know, with someone like Putin, who I don't think we can trust in any event, and let alone with North Korea, and continuing to give them support. If you look at North Korea and how they operate as a nation, the population is highly manipulated, and there are at least six, if you count them, six labor camps where it's reported 40% of the prisoners die of malnutrition. You know, folks, imagine, just imagine for a second, living in a country where everything is strictly managed by the state. And if we really have the best thing going here in the United States, you take the Republicans, you take the Democrats, you take them all together, we still have the best thing going here in the United States. We've still got the best thing going. But in North Korea, everything is strictly managed by the state. The freedom of association, the freedom of expression, and the freedom of movement, it's under constant fear. The folks there are under constant fear of arbitrary detention for hardly any reason. Trumped up, you know, made up reasons. It's a constant fear of detention, torture, and there's a bunch of other nasty stuff that results in death, basically an execution, for a lot of the North Koreans who happen to step out of line. And we know this because defectors from North Korea have told us about torture, starvation, they've told us about rape, murder, even medical experimentation that's forced on people, in addition to these labor camps, and then they also force abortions on people. I mean, this is hell on earth, folks. It really is. I mean, this is hell on earth. So they've got this benefit of geography. They've got this determination, and they've shown remarkable resilience of sustaining what they're doing today indefinitely. So that's exactly why we've had this policy of strategic patience. What the hell do you do? And that's why I'm saying that this policy of strategic patience is going to be replaced by Trump's strategic tolerance. Essentially the same thing. So you've got North Korea spending all of their money on nuclear development and cyber warfare. In fact, many folks have attributed the Sony hack to North Korea, which cost Sony upwards of about $42 million. And over in the UK, the National Health System hack was blamed on North Korea as well. And even, you probably haven't heard of this one, but even the hack on the Bank of Bangladesh was attributed to North Korea, where it was, if it wasn't for that one letter typo in a destination money wire transfer, North Korea would have scammed and bagged $1 billion. So folks, I mean, this is rapidly going from bad to worse, and we all know it. But what do you do right now, you know, with all of this capability that North Korea has, cyber capability, now just as discussed, the the nuclear capability. You've got Donald Trump. He brings nothing to the negotiating table except the threat of fire and fury. I mean, that's it. If there is a first strike by North Korea, if they just sit there and there's no first strike, if they don't do anything, if this just continues like it is, this policy of Trump's, this new policy of strategic tolerance, just simply, if this plays its hand out over time, they just get stronger and stronger. They continue to develop that cyber warfare. They continue to perfect their nuclear program over time. So that's the fatal flaw of U.S. policy in North Korea to date. North Korea will continue to perfect that cyber warfare and nuclear program as they've done so far, given more time. So they've got nothing to lose here by waiting. And we're unlikely to make that first strike because of the fact that there are so many rich targets within 35 miles of that border. They just simply sit there and perfect their capability over time. And with any negotiation, you have to have something to negotiate with, and all we bring is this fear of fire and fury. And I picture a model that's actually similar for North Korea, similar to China, you know, which China is still not the best on human rights, as we know. But China has improved the quality of life for most, if not many, of its people. As trade has improved, and they can thank us for that, over the years here, as trade has improved, the quality of life of the Chinese citizens has improved, and now they're big buyers of our real estate, aren't they? They own big time real estate in the United States. So what an improvement. And so for Trump to be effective in negotiating with North Korea, he needs to offer something that benefits North Korea. But at the same time, we don't want to reward a bad actor that's guilty of tragic human rights, do we? We don't want to do that. And we don't want to help them perfect their cyber capability and their nuclear capability. So here's the deal. North Korea healthcare is abysmal. North Korea has severe shortages of medical equipment, drugs, and anesthetics. Food is so short in supply that tuberculosis, malaria, and hepatitis B are just simply a part of daily life for people in North Korea. And if we expect to negotiate on anything verifiable, on any verifiable reduction of nuclear capability, we need to bring a benefit to the table, like medical equipment, drugs, and anesthetics, and things like food aid. We've got to bring these types of things to the table as things that we can negotiate with, things that they need. You negotiate with humanitarian aid, develop a way to verify nuclear compliance with international help, perhaps then offer to reestablish industrial zones between South Korea and North Korea like we had in the recent past. And the problem with some of that approach here, folks, is the fact that Trump has trampled on the Iran deal, kind of a situation where, with the help of five other countries' international approach, he's threatened to throw that whole nuclear deal out the window. So you've got an example here, an active example of something that's been negotiated, and Trump simply throwing it away. So that's a hurdle. He's actually thrown up his own, Trump has thrown up a roadblock to himself, a speed bump, if you will, that is a problematic in trying to negotiate anything, basis what he's done to the Iran deal. But in any event, I think that China would be a willing partner in all of this, in terms of this negotiation. And as their largest trade partner, China would be one that would have the most leverage, obviously, with North Korea. But until we bring something to negotiate with, nothing will change, and Kim Jong will just simply continue like he's been doing. And by the way, you know, let's face it, Kim Jong is playing the crazy card just as good as Trump is playing his crazy card, and it's insane. These tweets are absolutely, abysmally insane. And, you know, seeing two people play the crazy card is enough to make you want to gag. Especially when we're talking about nuclear weapons here. But folks, let me tell you this. Why would Kim Jong-un launch any nuclear weapons as a first strike? Why would he do that? And I'm going to tell you that Kim Jong, I don't think that he would ever launch nuclear weapons, because they can just sit there and wait things out. They can just sit and wait things out and until they're ultimately at the negotiating table with a hand that just improves over time. So launching nuclear weapons, despite all the crazy talk, isn't something that Kim Jong would do, because his hand just improves over time. So, folks, I've got, you know, I'm going to have to apologize here. I hate bringing up this darn Roy Moore thing. I know I've trampled this in the ground, but I promise, just a little bit, coming right up. So, yeah, I've talked a lot about it, And I just a tiny bit here that I want to say about Roy Moore and the scandal. What's going to happen here? I mean, it doesn't look like there's an end game that's emerged yet for Roy Moore. And what's worse is the Bannon feeders are sticking to their candidate, which says a lot about Steve Bannon's crusade, wouldn't you say? Despite what we know today, Steve Bannon is still staunchly supporting Roy Moore. And man, is that sad. It's not just we're not playing a board game here, folks. I mean, he's playing with a guy that's got a checkered past. That's quite extreme, and he's still supporting him. The fact that the Bannon feeders still are gunning for this guy, despite the evidence, reveals a damning dark movement that they're up to here, at any cost to promote their views on society. And folks, I'm just here to tell you, watch out for it. Steve Bannon and the Bannon feeders, their version of America, and it's evidenced by supporting this candidate, Roy Moore, no matter what the cost, their version is not the version of America that you or I would ever want to see. They operate in the darkness with no sense of morals or ethics to push a candidate like Roy Moore forward. Even under the veil of religion, using religion like a weapon, they've weaponized conservatives through religion to pull people into their causes. It's dangerous and it's not good. And that's why I'm going to shine a little light on this here. And I just want to say thank God mainstream Republicans are speaking their minds on this. I commend them for doing that, folks. And I think I fulfilled my weekly challenge here to say something good about a Republican. And I would challenge you to do the same thing. Sometimes we get all amped up between Democrats and Republicans, liberals and conservatives, and I challenge you to do the same things. Tell folks like Mitch McConnell, Jeff Flake, Bob Corker, folks like John McCain and Lindsey Graham that as someone who doesn't always agree with you, you guys are doing the right thing here, and I thank you for that. America thanks you for that. We don't need Roy Moore. That's the challenge this week, folks. I want you to say something good to a Republican. Say something good. And do you think somebody, as we kind of talk about this, do you think someone like Rush Limbaugh or Alex Jones would tell folks to say something good about a Democrat? Let's ask Alex Jones here. Alex, would you ever say something good about a Democrat? What do you think about
I'm
that?
red-blooded and I hate murderers. All right.
Dang. Alex, back in your cage. Back, way back in your cage. This is the craziness that we're dealing here with some of these folks. Alex Jones, Rush Limbaugh. In fact, Rush Limbaugh asked his listeners yesterday, why do Republicans always throw one of their own off the ship really quick while the left circles the wagons on their own perverts to protect them? Wrong, Rush, absolutely dead wrong. And folks, what these people do is they whip up hatred to sell themselves. That's how they make their money. They whip up all this hatred. And they gotta stop it. It's nasty and it's a terrible way to make money. And they're millionaires off of doing this. And we so-called liberals, we don't circle the wagons to support any wrongdoing. At least I won't. You won't hear me doing that. Folks, if it's wrong, it's wrong. And let me tell you, Roy Moore is dead wrong here. And he should be, in fact, thrown off the Republican ship. So, hang in there, folks. I'm going to take a sip of water and we're going to tell you a little something that's coming up on the calendar. Stay right there. You won't want to miss it. So, hey, folks, here's something on the calendar that I want you to know about. November 15th, coming right up. It's Clean Your Refrigerator Day. Clean it. Reach all the way in the back and grab that old jar of mustard. And folks, if it's got any brown dried bits around the lid, when you take the lid off, throw it away. That old jam jar with half an inch or a quarter inch of jam left in it, throw it away. If you don't do this, nobody else is going to do it. Seriously, there's no refrigerator police that are going to pop by and require you to do this. It's something that we really have to do on our own. And we have to do for ourselves. No matter if you're rich or if you're poor, generally, you've got to have your head in the fridge while this is going on. And at least oversee the process, if that's the way it has to go. That mustard is only good for a year, by the way, in the fridge. And sorry, it's not going to last forever. It's the same thing with frozen meat. It's not going to last longer than a year. That crusty bottle of sriracha or Tabasco may live for 3 years. It may hang in there for 3 years, but don't risk. Don't risk making your family or friends ill with dingy sauces. That fridge isn't meant to be an edible museum of historical sauces and condiments, for God's sakes. Throw it out. Clean it up. November 15th, coming right up. So after cleaning your fridge on the 15th, the 17th of November is Take a Hike Day. And I think about this, and I think this means that you can suggest this to someone you know as well. It works both ways. From a physical standpoint or a mental standpoint, you can get both benefits. You know, from the Take a Hike Day, you can tell someone to take a hike, or you can put your shoes on, your tennis shoes, and take a hike. Either way, you get a benefit, and that's coming up on the 17th. So what segment wouldn't be without a little Looney Tunes? Yes, folks, the Looney Tunes. The last thing to bring up is that dang Russian investigation, that meddling scandal that just keeps going deeper and deeper. Deeper and deeper we go. It's like the voyage to the center of the earth. When will we ever get there? When? Well, just yesterday, The Atlantic broke a story on Monday that Don Jr. had exchanged messages on Twitter with WikiLeaks during the course of the 2016 presidential campaign. Evidently, Don Jr. never heard my episode 17, where the headline is WikiLeaks equals Russia. It's the truth. There's been every attempt to minimize this. They like to use the term nothing burger. Have you heard that bandied about? I've heard that on CNN. I've heard it on Fox. I've heard it on MSNBC. All that stuff of which I listen to on a nothing basis, endless basis. It's a nothing burger. It's kind of like these commercials going all the way back to Wendy's. Remember those, if you can remember back, if those of you who are from the 80s, all the way back to the 80s, where in that time there was a lady named Clara Peller. And in the commercial for Wendy's, she used to hold up the burger and say, "Where's the beef?" Remember that? "Where's the beef?" Well, it's right here, Don Jr. Little sunshine, it's right there. And the whole time here, folks, when Don Jr. was communicating with WikiLeaks in September of 16 and October of 16, we all knew. U.S. intel showed Russia was responsible for the evil hacks from the DNC, the Democratic National Convention, and John Podesta. We all knew it was Russia that was behind it. It was common knowledge that Russia did the hacking and WikiLeaks did the distribution. So, folks, yes, this matters. This all matters, and it's just another bit of the puzzle that's dropped. So, Mr. President, you have a lot on your plate after that Asian trip, with enjoying some good food, good weather, sunshine, and let's not forget that moonlight serenade by the Philippine President Duterte singing you love songs. Wow, those were the days. Well, you've got a lot to come back to. The reality here is right in front of you. Welcome back to yet another fresh blast on the Russian investigation story. And oh, by the way, you have that old festering Roy Moore problem to deal with, too. We haven't heard from you in a substantial sense yet. And, Mr. President, I do like the idea of putting Sessions back into Alabama with his old seat, his old Senate seat. And that would solve two problems at once, wouldn't it? And, folks, did you happen to notice here, by the way? Did you happen to notice that Jeff Sessions, who's been doing God knows what while Daddy Trump has been away from the White House, he's going to hurry up now all of a sudden, and he's going to investigate the so-called Hillary Clinton and the Uranium One deal, which is truly a nothing burger, if I ever saw one. And he's rushing to do this before his dad, Donnie Trump, comes back again, back home to the White House. Lordy. Good luck with that, Jeff. We'll see you back in Alabama. We'll see you back in the Senate, which is bad enough. And, folks, on that note, I want to thank you for joining in and listening to the Rusted Culture Show. And we're also at Rusted Culture, www.rustedculture.com. And talking about Rocket Man here, there's a great song rendition of the Rocket Man by Iron Horse Bluegrass. And it's on iTunes if you want to go out and get the full version. Gosh, I love this song. It's a great version. Listen to it, and we'll look for you next time around. As a kite by then.
All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
I miss the earth so much. I miss my wife. It's lonely out in space. Such a timeless flight. It's gonna be a long, long time. Touchdown brings me round again to find I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh, no, no, no. I'm a rocket man. Rocket man.